Jehovah Baal Perazim, the Lord of the breakthrough, continuing on in the names of God. This is, I believe, one of my favorite names for God, and as we move along this morning, I think that will become evident for you. By now, if you have turned on your TV this week, you are familiar with the name Lamar Odom, yes? If you did not turn on your TV this week, you are not familiar with who he is. But I want to say that Lamar Odom did not have a breakthrough. Okay? The superstar basketball player who was named the NBA Sixth Man of the Year in 2011 and won the 2009 and 2010 NBA Championship was found this week, in case you didn't turn your TV on, drugged, doped, and drunk, almost dead. I understand he is progressing, he is doing well, but he was almost dead, and he was found at a Nevada brothel last week. He spent upwards of $75,000 to have two call girls at his beck and call for 2 days. Oh, poor, poor multimillionaire basketball player who doesn't know what to do with all that money. Shall I retrieve my violin and play you a dirge? Should we ignore or excuse or worse, exonerate your sins? Oops, I'm sorry, your diseases. Put you back on your pedestal made of sand. Look the other way as you return to athletic superstardom. And if you don't return to the courts, then perhaps you will go off and write a bestseller about almost dying in a brothel. And then you'll make $1 million that way. The press call him truly a lovely man. So kind, so sweet, so caring. I call him lost in his sins. I'm allowed to say that, aren't I, as a preacher of the gospel? Because, my friends, that's not a message that you're going to hear anywhere else in our culture. No, truly he is. Is there any other way to explain it? The press questions his behaviors, but they never say he was stupid. They never say he was foolish. Oh no, that would be judging. And we all know that the narrative of today's postmodern world is a colorless desert where morals that were once as strong and mighty as the oak have now been turned into little annoying tumbleweeds blowing across the desert of our land that has lost its values. It is an errant reading of Holy Scripture to say that the emotional default position of those who behold and put up with sin ought to be that of permissive compassion. In other words, oh, poor baby, he was having sex for 2 days straight and ingesting cocaine and God only knows what else. What a poor baby. Compassion as rendered in Scripture is vastly different than the mollycoddle permissive compassion that is poisoning our culture. Jesus, for the record, never condoned sin. Not yours, not mine, not anyone else's. Rather, he said to those that he healed and set free from their sins, go and sin no more. Don't do it. Now, that's a breakthrough statement, my friends. Go and sin no more. Sin, as Jesus taught us, must never, ever be embraced. Did our Lord ever pity the devil? Oh, poor devil. Oh, let's cut Satan some slack. Find it in Scripture, and I shall be persuaded, nay, converted of the view that a lifestyle of sin is an excusable lifestyle, one that we can just, oh, let's give a pass to that, shall we? I call Lamar Odom not only lost, but a man who truly enjoyed embracing the dark side of life and doing that very dangerous dance of deception with the devil that leads to despair and eventually very close to a hair's breadth away from death. Without question, Lamar Odom needs a breakthrough. It's a breakthrough that he's never had and he quite possibly never will. It was during the 1960s, that lovely era of LSD, whose politicians destroyed Vietnam, killed JFK, MLK, and stripped prayer from the public schools, that Jim Morrison of the rock band The Doors, how many of you know the rock band The Doors? They were huge. Jim Morrison, he was huge. He was so popular. I mean, such a good-looking guy. And he wrote a song titled Break On Through. You can hear the song even now. And Break On Through to the Other Side. Break On Through to the Other Side. Here's some of the lyrics. You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Tried to run, tried to hide. Break on through to the other side. We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there, but can you still recall the time that we cried? Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Lamar, I want you to know that Jim never had his breakthrough to the other side. Oh no, Lamar. Jim Morrison died in 1971 at age 27. That giant of a performer. Of a poet that he was. That's right, you guessed it, to alcoholism and heroin. He died in a Paris apartment, and his grave is there in Paris. So whether it's 1971 or 2015, whether it's Jim Morrison or Lamar Odom, this world now more than ever needs a breakthrough. Would you agree, my friends? Why? Because God knows what we're like. Scripture declares in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And after Jesus cleared out the money chambers in the temple court in John chapter 2, thank God, the text says in verse 24, but Jesus wouldn't entrust himself to anyone, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about humanity, for he knew what was in every person. Jesus knows that in order for humans to be free from our own brokenness, alienation, and pervasive bent towards our own self-destruction, you've got to have a breakthrough. You've got to have a breakthrough. Jesus knows that salvation is not possible without a breakthrough. Isn't that what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3? You are a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things about the necessity of having a breakthrough to God? I love that tradition in the legacy church that likes to be critical of people like me who can tell you the exact calendar date of the day of their salvation, April 15th, 1977. Well, the critics say, I've never had such an experience. I don't have a date that I can say that I came to Christ or was saved, to which I say, that's okay. The date of your salvation isn't the important thing, but the fact that you are saved is. And that you are experiencing Him on a daily basis. It isn't about the date, my friends. It's about knowing in your heart of hearts of whether or not you are saved, whether you've had that breakthrough to the other side. If you can't say, I'm saved, I am washed in the blood of the Lamb, then, my friends, you need to find yourself the closest altar and run to it as quickly as you possibly can and pray that there'll be a man or woman of God there at the altar that can pray with you. Our modern-day problem, friends, is that we have seemingly somehow, I don't know how we get ourselves entrenched into these difficulties and problems that we're enduring today, but somehow we have substituted therapy for the necessity of a breakthrough. You know, and you can't do that. You can't self-actualize yourself into salvation. What are you doing, Pastor? I'm self-actualizing myself into salvation. You can't do it. You can check yourself into rehab at the Carl Lindner Center to the tune of thousands of dollars a week. You can contemplate your navel, and you can listen to subliminal relaxation tapes of whale songs and bubbling brooks and wolves crying in the distance, but you still won't get your breakthrough. Well, Pastor Daniel, how do I get my breakthrough then? How does my neighbor get his or her breakthrough when I see them struggling and suffering so much? How does my family get the breakthrough that they need to have? How? How can I get to that place where I am not only whole, but also saved? Here's how. You got to believe in the God of the breakthrough. Are you with me, my friends? Amen. Can you give me an amen to encourage the preacher this morning? Yeah? Amen. Amen. In 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 8 through 17, King David goes, gives God the name Baal Perazim. Mark it, know it well. 1 Corinthians 14, the Lord of the breakout. What this really means, my friends, is this. God's going to get you through. God's going to get you through. The Amplified Bible, and I love this, translates Jehovah Baal Perazim as the master of the breakthrough. Oh yeah, God's going to get you through, and He's going to figure out how it's going to happen, you see? What was at stake for King David in 1 Chronicles 14 were two battles against the Philistines, or Philistines, however you want to pronounce that, today's modern-day Palestinians, who on Friday of this week, I don't know, my friends, living in this world is just getting too much to take in, I've got to tell you, who on Friday this week burned the tomb of Joseph in Israel. That's right, Joseph, who was Pharaoh's royal vizier, Joseph who dreamed dreams and was given a coat of many colors by his father Jacob, Joseph who fled Potiphar's wife, Joseph who forgave his brother's jealousy of him, that Joseph had his tomb burned this week. Don't kid yourselves, my friends, the goal of the Philistines in 1 Chronicles 14 was to destroy David and to topple his throne. Yes, it was. Don't kid yourself, my friends, the goal of the Palestinians is the destruction of Israel. It was true in the 10th century BC when David took on the Philistines, and it's true today in 2015, over 3,000 years later. I read to you from the preamble of the covenant of Hamas that is dated August 18, 1988. Quote, Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it. So when is it that we should call upon the Lord of the breakthrough? I'll tell you what, every time I turn on the evening news, it gives me that sense of I need to call out upon the Lord of the breakthrough. 1 Chronicles instructs us well. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it, and he went out to meet them. He wasn't going to back down. Now the Philistines had come, and they raided the valley of Rephaim. So first we must understand that there will always be enemies who want to destroy your faith, intimidate you, or threaten you if you don't adopt their way of life. What David knew is this. If he lost the battle, here's how it would play out. If he lost the battle against the Philistines, he would be dragged back into Philistine territory, made to bow down on his knees to worship their god. Dagon was its name, and then his head would have been severed. Friends, there are a lot of people in our culture today who have sold out to this world's God, all to accommodate the passing values and agenda of Dagon. Like David, we call upon the master of the breakthrough when we don't know what to do. Ever had moments where you don't know what to do? I've had plenty of them. Lamar Odom should have said to God, God, I don't know what to do. David said, shall I go and attack the Philistines, God? What's your plan? How's it going to play out? What should I do? When we don't know what to do, Scripture teaches us this. Ask God. Ask God. We should say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm lost in my grief. I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm lost in busyness. I don't know what to do. Lord, I am lost in my depression. I don't know what to do. Lord, I am mixed up with the wrong people doing the wrong things. Lord, I am lost in jealousy. Lord, I'm lost in lovelessness. Lord, I'm lost in loneliness. I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm lost in fear and uncertainty. I don't know what to do. Second, we must put ourselves under the direction of the Lord of the breakthrough. Go, I will deliver them, the Philistines, that is, Baal Perazim says, into your hands, David. Not you, David. You're not going to have the victory, but me, says the Lord of the breakthrough. I will do it. Doesn't James chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8 say, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will do what? Flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. A passive Christian is a thoughtless Christian. A tired Christian is an ineffective Christian. And a compromising Christian mocks God's ability to fight and set you free. Aren't you glad that God is fighting your battles and setting you free? Our job is to resist, as the text in the book of James declares. It is God's job to destroy, to tear down our temples dedicated to Dagon. Why are there Jim Morrisons and John Belushis and Robin Williams and Lamar Odoms in the world? They gave up resisting. You know, the saddest thing to me about the horrific heroin problem in northern Kentucky and greater Cincinnati, I think the worst thing about it is it's becoming the new normal. You know, we're kind of giving up. You know, the politicians, have they given up? Doctors completely overwhelmed, emergency rooms, you know, just crammed full of people. We used to call them what? Back in the 60s, we used to call them junkies, right? Yeah, we used to call them, you know. I haven't heard that word for probably like 10 years, you know. That's what they, have our churches given up? But more importantly, have people given up? Do we now just accept, you know, that there's casualties of this culture that we turn a blind eye to, and it's all right if they lie as refuse on the side of the road? And so my deep, penetrating theological question for all of us today is, have we forgotten how to resist the evil one? Finally, I'm getting close to the end, my friends, so just stay with me. Finally, in addition to recognizing that the enemy is arrayed against us and that we must ask the Lord what to do, we must lastly recognize that the Lord goes before us. That's what the text says. God says, when you hear the marching of the enemy in the tops of the poplar trees, that's when I want you to move out into battle, because that will mean, the text says, that God has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So David did as God commanded him, and they did. They struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. Baal Perazim, the Lord of the breakthrough, goes before you. The text doesn't say God is hanging on to our apron strings. It doesn't say that God is aloof or that God doesn't care. It doesn't say he's frightened or embarrassed or intimidated by the enemy. It says God goes before us. I sure am glad for that, my friends. God has already gone before you and conquered your sin. God has already conquered the alcoholism. God has already gone before you into the drug addiction and the death. God has already conquered violent extremism, be it here at home or abroad. God has already conquered depression. God has already conquered our procrastination, our lack of faith. God has conquered our infidelities and our antagonism toward this world. God has conquered our overconsumption, our political corruption. God has conquered our disregard for human life, our biosphere, our brokenness, and our lack of forgiveness. He has broken through our tears, our hatreds, our harshness, and our hopelessness. He is Baal Perazim, master of the breakthrough. And as he broke through and gave the victory to King David, not just once in the text, but twice, so too, he's going to break through for you. Amen. He's going to break through for you. He's going to break through for me. The victory is ours. Baal Perazim, the Lord of the breakthrough. It's not just His name, friends. It's really who He is. Amen.